This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at World Sweeper. We are speaking today with Rich Katz, the president of operations for TKG, the Katz Group. They are located in Waukegan, Illinois, and they are our July 2012 featured contractor here at World Sweeper. So welcome, Rich.
Thank you.
I understand that you got into the sweeping portion of your business as a result of doing commercial property maintenance, which you started in about 2000 in your area. So if you would first give the listeners an opportunity to know a little more about your company, how you got started, why at some point that you got into sweeping from just doing other types of property maintenance.
Part of it begins with growing up in real estate, both retail and apartments. In 2000, we bought our first building. And from there on, we grew to owning and managing a group about 500,000 square feet of retail shopping centers, mostly in Milwaukee and some in Illinois and some in Michigan. But in 2007, my partners and I sat around our table and said, what are we going to do now? Market crashed. Where can we continue to make money and grow our business? And my first thought is, why don't we do our own property maintenance? Wasn't overly happy with the guys who were doing my work. And so we bought a sweeper and hired a guy and threw him out of the truck and covering six properties that we were personally managing. And from there on, we threw on a logo and put up a website, and we got a lot of calls. Saw that there was a need for it, and that's kind of where we began. In the first 2 years, we picked up a lot more accounts than we ever would have expected to. And so then we figured it's a business. We're going to make a go of it. And today, I think we've got 11 or 12 trucks and well over 100 accounts and try and stay pretty busy.
What do you use for your sweeping accounts? What kind of equipment?
For the parking lot sweeping, we are mostly Schwarz and Victory. We do have a Timco, which we think is a good machine as well, but we like the 348s and the new Victory, either Liberty or Mark IIs, just have a bigger hopper capacity.
And they have the power to certainly get the job done day or night.
The 348 and the Mark II, much more versatile. They've got the power. They can really do anything. I mean, you know, we used to use the heavier, you know, A4000 or Timco 435 to do spring cleanups, but those two trucks can do anything. You know, they can do all those spring cleanups, so they're versatile.
What have you learned in moving from property maintenance over to the sweeping side of it? It must be quite a bit of difference, property maintenance or management, excuse me, being more of a daytime activity and sweeping be at night. Did you at first find yourself working day and night?
You know, we still manage a lot of our stuff, but you know, at first, I mean, I was out sweeping with the guys for at least the first 6 months, and it's a little bit of a transition from being the day. But you know, once you get good guys, and we have a good core group of employees, we have a full-time mechanic. You know, it's easier. You know, it's never easy, but the problems go away a little bit more. We brought in a full-time mechanic about 2 years ago, and a lot of the problems that we were having with the truck have since disappeared. You're always going to have problems, but it's not routine, probably, you know. The routine stuff is all done, and so we don't see the big problems we were having in the beginning. But it did take about 2 years, a lot of problems with equipment not working right or not being serviced right. So that, I would say, the biggest learning experience we had was the machines need a lot of maintenance. And most of it's preventative maintenance. But if you do the right preventative maintenance, you take away 85% of the problems.
Do you want to get into a little more detail on that? What types of things weren't you doing that at the beginning that you would know enough now to do? Got any examples?
I think a lot of it's general maintenance. A lot of, you know, making sure you're checking all the fluids every day, checking out everything, the grease, and keeping them a lot cleaner. You know, making sure that the screens are good, no holes. You know, we had bought mostly used trucks, and so, you know, I don't have a mechanical background, and we had some guys, and we also had some employees at the beginning who weren't very honest, and I think that was part of it. They said that they knew how to operate sweepers, knew how to maintain them, and that was also part of the learning experience. But
it turned out they knew how to spell the word sweeper instead. Huh?
It turned out, well, yeah, I mean, one of the gentlemen, it turned out to be a crook, and that's another story. But I think a lot of it's just little maintenance, but every day. You just have to do it every day. And I think it's very important to keep the trucks clean it stops the rust. We're in the Midwest. We see a lot of water. We see a lot of snow. We see a lot of snout. And just keeping them greased, keeping them in, and we keep them inside. We like keeping them inside because there is a lot of weather factors in the Midwest.
With the person that you say turned out to be a crook, is there lessons there in terms of oversight or?
I wish I could say yes. You know, we did the background checks. We hired, you know, we actually, he came from another company, you know, gave me a very good story. He was actually the guy servicing one of my properties for a while. And at the time that we hired him, there was no criminal background or no cases against him. You know, 3 months later there, you know, he is still going through the legal processes. He is the state, I mean, he is being prosecuted by the state. He stole a significant amount of money from his past company. And he actually did steal money from us, but we caught it much quicker. You know, we caught it very quickly. I would tell anybody who's starting a business or has a business, and you should always do this, always keep your own books. It's very hard for people to steal if you're keeping your own books. And the tracking has been the biggest thing. We caught him stealing on tracking. It was actually in snow. It wasn't even sweeping, but we caught him doing other properties in our trucks. And I'm looking at the tracking. I'm saying, man, why are they on this property for 2 hours? We don't do this property. And the tracking has been great, you know.
GPS, you're talking
GPS
about.
GPS tracking, yeah. GPS truck tracking.
Yeah, GPS is just such a boon to this industry as well as to the snowplow industry because, when it snows, especially, there's a lot of money out there for somebody to go off route and, do a little plowing on the side. So
yeah, no question. And, you know, people like to pay cash if they can get a discount.
Sure.
We check. We're on the tracking every day. We don't use it to threaten the employees. We have a screen up. It's on there. They know we have it. We use it as a training tool. It's actually a very good training tool. But they know we have it. It's not a threat. If they go outside a boundary, if they're on another property, you may not catch them the first time, but you will catch them the second time. You know, you may have missed one day, but, you know, once someone does it once, they typically tend to do it more times. We haven't had any issues in the last 2 years since we've put the tracking in.
One of the things that I think people don't recognize as much as they should and to approach their employees with as well is the positives of GPS tracking because some point or another, every sweeping company is going to be accused of not having shown up for the job and not doing the work, and it may well be a legal situation as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's a slip and fall and there's a lot of incentive for somebody to say, well, we know the sweeper wasn't there and here's why. And with GPS, that just it's proof positive. It takes that away completely. And when someone says, gee, you're not spending the amount of time on our lot as you should, or, you know, we know what your employee, did this, that, or the other thing. With GPS, you can show for your employees' comfort,
yeah,
and to reduce your own liability that he was there and here's when he was there and so forth, as well as the ability to, if employees are made to understand that this really gives you the ability to pay them the best amount that you can pay them because you're able to really track what your costs are and the amount of time that people are on the lots and then, from that, make sure that you're making a profit on every lot, which means that you're going to stay profitable. They're going to have a job, and that's that can be real big, too.
Absolutely. It also helps us with new guys starting. You know, they ask a lot of questions. How long should I be on lot? How long should it take? And obviously, there's a lot of variables to that. But, you know, we can always go back and say, well, if you take the last 10 times we were there, it was an average of an hour, you know, and that, I think, has been very helpful. So we're constantly updating, our routes. You know, we've got, you know, 5 or 6 trucks going out 6 or 7 days a week, and we are constantly updating what the average times are. You know, they're going to be more in the spring, they're going to be more in the fall, but we try and take an average, and we update that list every 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, even for an employee, a new hire, to recognize that you told them it's an hour average, but it's not an hour every night. I mean, you can't, if there was an extraordinary amount of debris and it took longer, you don't want them to get in the position of panicking and leaving after an hour and leaving the job undone either. So GPS, you know, by being able to show them previous tracking, they can see the variation as well as the fact that it's an hour average.
Yeah.
So they can recognize that if they've deviated, or if they get done early, they think, well, gee, you know, maybe I've left something undone. But when they've seen the GPS tracking and seen that it runs from, you know, 35 minutes to an hour and 15, then they know enough to get off the lot. It's clean, and they know enough to stay there because it's still dirty. So
yeah, and then that's, you know, and we, you know, we tell them, listen, if it's an hour lot and you were there for 2 hours, I'm not telling you you didn't do a good job. I'm not telling you you were slow or cheating us. Just tell me why. You know, maybe it was one of those nights it was just really dirty. It's always possible, you know. And it, so we seem to get the guys, they'll give us a reason, which is great, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all you can ask for.
It's been helpful. I feel like I think the employees appreciate it, actually. You know, we use it as a tool. It's a tool versus always trying to catch the cheaters.
Right, right. And it's one of those, you know, expect the best, but monitor it.
Yeah.
So that makes perfect sense. How do you organize your when you're managing a company and you're doing the sweeping for them, for that company, versus when you're working for somebody else? Is there a difference in the routine? I mean, obviously, if you see a pothole on a property that you're the management company for, you're not going to email yourself and say, "Gee, here's a pothole, we can fix it for you." But is there a different do you find that, is there anything interesting there in the fact that you have some properties that you're totally responsible for the management and others you're just doing sweeping, but you have all these other services you can offer?
We, you know, we really only manage the stuff that, you know, we the stuff that we own with a group, but we're the general partner. We're not doing any third-party management at the moment. So, you know, for our properties, if somebody says there's a pothole, yeah, it's, we get it fixed. You know, I tell my guys, my operators don't know what properties I own, and they have no idea. So I want them all to treat them all the same. Obviously, if it's something on my property, I can get it done much easier. Every property is around the same. Part of it, though, is for me on a sales pitch point. It's an easy sales pitch. You know, we own and manage property. We understand what it takes. We understand budgets. We understand CAMs. And so for me, it's always been a great pitch when trying to pick up properties. You know, the only negative, and we haven't actually seen it, is we, you know, there's other companies like mine that own, you know, manage, and do they want a competitor during their services? It hasn't been an issue yet, but you never know. Will we not get hired because they think we're going to try and steal their management? And that's why we don't do a lot of third-party management, because we don't want to have that issue.
Well, that makes perfect sense. What do you do when you see that there's something wrong on a property? What is your protocol for notifying the property? Do you have digital cameras on board?
Yeah, the trucks have digital cameras. Each guy actually has a log sheet they have every night where they write down notes. And we're out of properties a lot. If it's an emergency, I expect a call, you know, whether it's they see someone breaking into a building or a pothole or something that's an emergency. They're supposed to call immediately. If it's not an emergency, I expect, you know, I get into the office between, you know, call right around 8 o'clock in the morning. I like to have notes on my desk when I get in. So my director of operations, whoever it is, either makes the notes or he'll contact the customers immediately if there's potholes, if there's things that need to be, if there's, you know, if there's things that they need bids for, you know, we'll go out and bid them. But in general, if there's any major notes or anything major, I get a phone call. If it's not that major, I expect it on my desk when I get here at 8 a.m. That way I can contact the customer first thing in the morning. I like to have it in my customer's email box or a phone call, either one typically before they get in. And I find with the real estate guys, most of them, when it's the parking lots and the shopping centers, not the construction, most of the guys aren't getting in until 8:30, 9 o'clock, whether it's the property managers or the ownership. Real estate business doesn't start quite as early as the sweeping business, kind of goes all night, but I can typically beat them to the punch. You know, my goal is to beat them before a tenant calls them and tells them about the problem.
That makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Have you done anything different given the cell phone rules? How have you handled that where, you know, for larger equipment, it's a ticketable item for having an employee talking on a cell phone while they drive? What is your... not so for smaller vehicles, is my understanding currently, but What's your policy in that regard?
My employees are not allowed to have a hand in their phone while operating a vehicle. So even if they can have a Bluetooth in the ear, I'm okay with that. The only, you know, they're not allowed to text. It's all in their handbook. They can't text. They can answer their phones. They're not supposed to dial a number when they're driving. You know, obviously if they're stopped, they can. You know, the question is, how do you monitor that? I think that's the hardest part. They have to have a phone in there. You know, and you can only go by the rules. We've done safety classes on, you know, talking on the phone, the dangerous, you know, everything we can to prevent it. And most of the guys, I think all of my guys have the Bluetooth. They use them. They wear them. You know, it's personal phones. We don't have truck, you know, we don't have phones in the vehicle. It's all personal phones. So, you know, I can't tell them not to take, you know, we can tell them not to take the calls. You can't do this, you can't do that. But are they going to take a call and talk? It's a hard, I think that's a challenge in today's world is how do you tell the guys not to text and drive? We all know it's dangerous. We all know it leads to accidents. But how can I guarantee it when I'm not out there at nighttime? All I can do is explain every issue, every dangerous thing, have them sign off on all the papers that they won't do it, put it in the handbook, and, you know, hope that they're following all the directions.
Well, you hit all the top points, that's for sure. You need to make sure you get signatures, that you hold the classes, and that you put it in.
We do. We, you know, we have my mechanic is also my director of safety, so he's an EMT in the past. EMT, sorry. And so we try and have once a month we do safety meetings. And do a new safety class every month. So we get the signatures. We have the guys sign. They know, all the guys know, and it's also in the handbook. I keep all the files. And so we're doing everything we can to, I think for me it's more about documentation. We need to document. And I think that's a big part. And I would tell anybody who's in any service business, or anyone's driving your vehicle, just document everything that you can.
Well, these days, if you are in an accident, of course, those phone records are subpoenable, so they're going to know whether you were on the phone while you were when you got in the accident.
Yeah.
So that's and I don't know if you read the article. I believe in the last or next to the last issue of the World Sweepers newsletter about the new app that you can put on a smartphone. That, and I think that will change. The sweeping industry as well, where you are actually able to have an oversight position, where if somebody speeds in an area or they're using the phone while the vehicle is moving, that you can get a notification for that. Now, of course, you'd have to own the phones. I would say probably you'd have to own the phones. You couldn't.
We would definitely have to own the phones.
Yeah, can't do
my
that.
My GPS tells me, like the GPS tells, or the tracking, I know when the guys are speeding. That stuff, I get emails on them right away. We have looked into, and there are systems where we, you know, it's almost like an old school, you know, car phone where it's hooked in, and it acts as your GPS, it's your records, and it is something that I think in the next 2 years, you won't have a choice. You'll have to do it, whether it's an iPad in there, an iPhone, or something of that nature. I'd also like to eliminate using the paper, and so that's another thing we've been looking at. There's nothing out there today that we've gotten excited about, but if I can have it's got to be simple. The sheets are simple because they write on it the time they get there, the time they leave. It's got to be as simple. I need to be able to put an iPad in there, A, that can withstand the dust and the dirtiness, can do all the tracking, tell them where they're going, and when they get onto the property, it immediately, you know, we make a perimeter, and they press the button, we're here, and we leave, and that's it, you know. And it's coming. There will be something, and I think that's the direction you have to go. I think anything we can do to eliminate the use of paper would be great.
And I think ultimately it'll eliminate even the having to push anything.
The Eagle, I can tell you the Eagle Eye, you know, the Mike Lux Eagle Eye system it has got a lot of that stuff where they pull back into the garage and it zaps into your system. It's a good system. It's missing some of the key elements I'd like to see. I think that system can grow and really be a very productive system.
Right. That does seem to be the leading system out there.
Is it Eagle Eye? I went out to his office. I saw it. I think it's a very good system. We're in a contract right now, so we can't make any changes. But they've developed it very nicely over the past year. And, it's, you know, it's a guy who's been in the industry for a long time, so he knows what he wants in there.
Well, no question there. And for people who haven't seen that, I don't mind giving them a plug. They're in our browse sweeping products area at World Sweeper, upper left side into the quick links, and you'll find the Eagle Eye tracking software. I am Mike Lutz, who is also the 1-800-SWEEPER founder. So, well, let's talk some other elements of your business. I know it's a family-run business. You're in business with your brother and a cousin, both. Brett is, I believe, your brother, and Daniel's your...
Brett's my cousin. Dave.
Brett's your cousin, and Daniel is your brother.
Yeah.
Are there more family members? How does that?
I've got a younger Danny, and I've got a younger brother, Brett's got two brothers, but nobody else in our business. You know, we're three people, and that's it. Working with family can be tough. Working with family can be great. It all depends on the day. You know, we've all got the same goals in mind. We all know where we want to go, but you know, there's always going to be disagreements. But overall, you know, we're on the same page, I would say, 90% of the time, which I think is probably better than you can say with any partnership. You know, Danny runs all the accounting, and so, you know, there's going to be times when he's going to tell me I can't spend any more money or I can't buy a new truck. You know, and those arguments you're always going to have.
Or you better buy one before this date.
That's right.
That's when the times are good.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, in general, I mean, working with family can be fun. It's challenging. But, you know, there's a lot of pluses. You know, there's ever problems. First of all, there's a trust. You trust family as much as you can trust anybody. For my family, at least, I've got a very close-knit family, and so there's a lot of trust there. If there's problems outside of the office, I think there's a little bit extra understanding, and you know, there's other people that can cover for you. And I think those are, you know, certainly for me, two of the big issues. And you know, we've all got three kids, and so we all want to run to the soccer game once in a while or whatever it is, and we don't make a big issue of it in the office. You know, we all get our hours in however we get them in, and you know, if one of us has to leave early or wants to go see a soccer game or has to go home to help a sick kid, we can do it. You know, we're not counting hours. We all work very hard.
Well, I think that's a key element to, you know, whether it's family or whether it isn't, is to have that respect that people are more productive and a better employee and certainly more loyal when they have an opportunity to have a full life.
Yeah.
And, you know, aren't bitter because they never get to go to the soccer game, and now they see their, you know, 9-year-olds become a 15-year-old. So.
Yeah, and, you know, and our management guys, Kyle Bergeron, who's my director of operations, I mean, we treat him no different. I mean, he works as hard as I've seen it, you know, as hard as anyone works, and when he's got to go, there's no questions asked. You know, it's about bringing people you trust, and it takes a while to get there, but once you have a management crew that you can trust, it makes growth and doing things a lot easier.
I have let's talk a little bit about some of the other services that you provide. What is your feeling on that? Now you've gotten into this kind of really from the back door, where you were managing properties and then you added sweeping. And did you add snow removal at that point, or did you? How did snow come in?
No, we added snow removal a couple of years ago, but our snow removal is we really do snow removal. All very close to where our shop is, and really, we've got 16 or 18 nighttime employees, and there's 10 of them that are key employees, and we do snow, so in the winter we can keep our key employees. I think that's a big part of why we do snow. It's profitable, it makes money, not when you have a year like last year, but in general, overall, I grew up doing snow, I understand snow, my mechanic heads up the snow, he's been doing snow for a long time, but we really do it because we have some employees that I don't want to go find other jobs in the winter. I want to keep them here. I want to keep them busy. And so that's really why we took on snow. We had the trucks. You know, we already had the pickup trucks. We had the skids. We had everything. You know, we had to go buy a couple plows. So we really started doing snow 3 years ago. And it's slow growth, but we try and keep it really close. You know, in a year like last year was kind of a tough year because you always have new employees to train, and we didn't really have any training time. So most of the snow was done by Kyle, the director, Derek, my mechanic, and me, just because we didn't have time to train a lot of the guys on some of the new equipment. But hopefully we'll get a little bit more snow this year.
When you do the choose the other things that you do in your business, are those things that you were doing before? Now, I see a lot on your website, quite a few interior items, ceiling tile replacement, light checks, carpet cleaning, vacancy cleanouts, and so forth. Are you springboarding onto the things that you did when you were managing your own properties and then, have that on your service?
Some of those services, the property inspections, I mean, I do those anyway, so those are a natural. And we have a lot of out-of-town customers who love to get a monthly report. And for us, it's great because it's nice to get out to the property anyway, and you notice more things, and it's become an area that we've, we charge, we bill, it's a moneymaker, and it brings more business. The vacancy cleanups and cleanouts, my background's in construction and maintenance, and so those are always areas on our properties that are closed that we've done on our own, whether I've hired temporary guys, but I've run a lot of those jobs, and so we were doing those already. We don't do all of them anymore. We try and stay away from the heavier interior stuff. Even painting, we'll do small jobs. I won't do big jobs anymore just because we don't have the guys. The guys are pretty busy. But, the cleanups, the debris hauling, even like the parking lot signs, that stuff is all natural. We have the guys here to do it. We don't do any window washing. Our power washing, we actually outsourced to one company that does all of my power washing, which has turned out really well because they do a better job than we ever did, and actually for less money than I'm able to do it for. But our main business is sweeping and day portering kind of. Those other services are ancillary because I have customers who live in, who are in Texas, and they call me and say, "Can you find me someone to do this?" And if it's something we can do, we may as well just do it.
Or even if it's somebody you can find, if you're doing it once in a while, then you'll get a good job because those folks that you're referring to are...
Exactly. And, my background in construction, and, we also had the contacts, being in the management business for 10-plus years, 6 years before we got into sweeping, I built up a very nice contact list.
Well, I think too, some of those things, like you say, cleaning out, tenant cleanouts, and ceiling tile replacement, hauling large debris away. I mean, that's not tough. You can get temps if you have the vehicles for it. You can get temps, and if you have a good manager, it's another money making area. Going back to the property inspections, is that a service that you offer? We can sign up, it's this much a month, and we'll give you a property, a full-service property inspection.
And we've got a form that we use off of them, and they'll check, I want this, 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 and this. No need to do this. And it varies whether it's, for some of the bigger companies, we do full everything. But there's some guys who just don't get to their properties a lot. And so, but it is a service we offer. Whenever I bid a property, it's always included on there, the monthly cost of what it would be. We have probably 30% of my customers use it. And a lot of them aren't out-of-town guys. A lot of them are, you get busy. All of us, we get busy, and you don't get a chance to get out there. Well, we have to be, for us, we need to be out there anyway. And so we may as well stay a little longer and let every property manager know what's going on.
Well, I think the ability to track that from a property manager's standpoint is enormous as well, because he has a file showing what the depreciation is on the property or the appreciation, and to show that whenever something is needed to be done, it's done. One of the things that I counsel contractors with is that a lot of times it's not in your best interest. For example, if you see something that needs to be done, it's not typically in your best interest anymore to call the property manager and tell them. It might feel good to you, and once in a while you might want to, connect up, and I think that's important too, because, these days of of tweeting and Facebook and email, we do need some of that more voice-to-voice contact and personal contact. But there are so many advantages these days to email with photos that can be archived, that can be bounced along to the manager, that where approval can be gotten, and everybody has a track record. And from all I've heard, if you have an email track record, you really don't, in most instances, need anything else. You can just go do the work. You have a record of it.
Yeah, 100%. You get the okay, and you go.
Yeah, and off you go. And what I think many contractors don't realize in terms of the do-it-all sort of direction that you have taken is that it makes so much sense to be able to do that from a property manager's viewpoint, whether he is a local guy or whether he's not. It's such good business sense, and much of the time, even though they may have bid your sweeping out to six different contractors and you happen to get it, when you send them a notice and say, hey, we noticed the stop sign was knocked over in the night, and here's what it'll be to fix it, they're not going to go out and get three bids for that. They're going to say, go.
And that's for us that we do a lot of those small jobs where, you know, it's not a lot of money, but when you do a lot of them, it makes sense. And we do stop signs, whatever it is. I mean, our goal is to be in projects that we can be in and out of a day. I don't want to do anything that's longer than a day. I don't want to drag it over. I want to be in and out. And when we've gotten projects that are more than a day, everything takes longer. Everything never works out as well. For what we do, you know, my guys get in, they get out, and we're done. But I always tell people, we're never going to be the cheapest guys out there, but you're going to get your service. We're going to be there, and when there's a problem on your property, you're going to know about it. And I think that's a big part of it.
Well, I think it is, too. There's just a lot of emphasis on low bid these days and cheapness, but for the successful contractors, working with the successful property managers and so forth, you can't afford to get into that rat race, because the unfortunate part of it is that the people who are looking for low bid and that's all they're looking for are also going to be your biggest headache.
No question.
So
they want low bid, and they want you there for 3 hours longer.
And they're ready to switch to another contractor for, you know, $10 a sweep or a dollar for that matter.
Yep.
What other things have you learned, I guess, in the sweeping side of things, either procuring employees, training them, putting one guy on a sweeper versus two? Are there any other aspects you can bring into the conversation there?
You know, hiring is always going to be challenging. We've gone through a lot of guys. We go through guys that we love. They're great. And they go, you know, I think it's in any service industry, keeping employees is difficult. And so we've always tried to, whether we pay them a little extra or we give a little bonuses, we try and keep the guys incentivized to be here. You're always going to have guys that you find guys or certain guys you do anything you can to keep without breaking the bank. We'll do little things, get the guys that tickets to Cubs games or whatever they want to see. And so we try and, our goal is to treat the employees well, keep them working. You know, we try and keep everybody getting their hours, but also make sure that they're doing their job and doing it right. It's a fine balance. You try and be nice, and then you have to balance it with, okay, we're going to be nice, but don't take advantage of us. Once you take advantage of us, then you're done. Employees are far and away the most difficult part of the business. Finding the right employees, finding good employees, honest employees, and then keeping them.
I think that's the hardest part of any business. You can always find somebody that can fix a sweeper or fix a truck and keep them rolling. But having that person that's will stay dedicated and work hard out in the middle of the night, essentially unsupervised, can be difficult. And then to have that person continue on with you, you know, for a number of years. That's the next challenge.
You know, we've tried. You know, we've some of the guys who started at nighttime. I think part of it is I'm always looking to how can I further these guys' careers? Can I move them up? Are they going to fit in this? And we've tried it a number of times, and it's not always the case, but I feel like I've got guys who are just, they're great at nighttime. They're doing their job. Everything looks great. I never get a complaint about it. But then I move them to the daytime to do construction. Well, they just don't fit in that role. And so it's a fine balance. I'm always trying to keep the guys, everyone wants to move up, but sometimes not everyone's made to do that. Not everyone wants to get out and do the construction job or manage a job. And so, you know, that's a balance that we've, you know, I'm always looking for who's that guy that I can bring up next to be the next supervisor, to be the next construction driver, you know, because we've had a lot of growth in the last year, 2 years in construction streets in some municipality. And so we're looking to grow in that area. And it's, you know, it's bigger trucks. It's, you need the CDL, and it's guys that need to be, first of all, they need to be able to speak with customers because it's daytime. They need to dress a little bit nicer. So there's a little bit more detail. So we're trying to keep these guys that we feel like should be able to move up, and it just doesn't work out. And so that's been a balance, is how do we do that, or do we not? Do we not, you know, guys who want to work at nighttime, we keep them at nighttime. You know, maybe they just don't want to be day, maybe they don't want to move up. And so that's a bit of fine balance, and I would say more times than not it hasn't worked out when moving them up to that next step, what we feel is the next step. We've done it with a couple guys, but overall, you know, I would say if we've had 3 of 10 guys work out, that would be a good number.
And then it's tough to go back, of course.
Once you move them up, it's very tough to go back typically. And I feel like if they do go back, you're never going to get that same quality we're getting before.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think for anybody in any service industry, it's employees has got to be the most difficult thing, more difficult than I ever thought.
Are there any other aspects that you'd like to bring out in this interview, either for the customer side or for other contractors that are listening? I think what you have said is there are a lot of things that are definitely food for thought for the contracting industry, and I think you've also illustrated, you know, what your company philosophy is for your customers. Should they be listening to this, I think they've heard directly from the top the kinds of things that they would want to hear, because you know you are really coming across as being a capable manager, compassionate for your employees, looking out for your businesses that you're doing the work for, and that's the kind of thing we would all, you know, want to have.
I appreciate that. The only other thing that I would, that always comes to the top of my head, is when you're hiring a contractor, and we've changed on this many times because we used to do a lot more subbing. We've gone the other way, and I really only use one outside contractor, and it's a guy who's established that he's going to do a great job in pressure washing. Make sure your sweeping guys are either hiring competent people or doing it themselves. You know, it's very hard to, you know, it's done a lot with the bigger companies. They want to have one contact person. It's part of the reason I think 800 sweepers is a great thing, is because we're all contractors doing our own work. That you can only begin if you're doing your own work. But you know, when we're hired through 3 different companies, you know, it's hard to have one sub to another sub than to me. You know, somewhere the ball gets dropped somewhere. And so if you're hiring contractors, you know, make sure you know about them, if they do their job, if they do it right, if they're qualified to do it. There's a lot of guys who sweep on there, and there's nothing wrong with having one truck, but make sure it's maintained right. You know, if you don't maintain it, if your contractor does not maintain his truck, it's not going to work right. You're going to be paying them for doing a job that's not working right. Everybody who understands this business realizes how much maintenance goes into these trucks. And it took us probably 3 years to realize how much maintenance really does. But the trucks certainly operate better when they're maintained correctly.
Well, and the tendency is certainly, especially when you're getting started and there's a lot of expenses anyway, is to look the other way and think, oh, well, we can get away with that and, you know,
yeah,
let that slide. And the fact of the matter, it becomes very expensive and your quality of sweep goes down. You don't, you know, not only is the customer not getting as good a job, but a lot of times you have to go back over places you wouldn't have to otherwise.
It's time and money. I mean, if you don't maintain the truck, it takes you longer to do the job. The truck isn't sweeping at, you know, call it 80%, and you're ruining the truck. I mean, if it can't, if the air's not going through properly, something is struggling, you know, something is working harder, so you're grinding more. And so if you keep everything working better, the jobs take quicker, your employees are happier because they can get their jobs and they don't have doesn't have to take them 10 times to do it, and your machines last longer. And I think it's the key in any business. What can I do to extend the life of my machine, my parking lot, my building, whatever it is, what can we do to extend the life of that to get us another year? You know, what is that? What is it that we have to do to get that extra year or 2 years?
And I want to encourage any contractors listening to this, don't hesitate to talk to not necessarily your salesperson at your the sweeping manufacturer of your equipment, but, you know, talk to whoever in that organization can really give you the fine points of the maintenance ideas and tips. A lot of times when you have a problem with a machine, your tendency is to call your salesperson, but there are typically other people in each of these manufacturing organizations that are better equipped to give you the true answers about what that machine can and will do, and you know, what might be the problem. It may well be that if you talk to them about the quality of sweeping that you're getting out of a particular machine and describe it, they say that's exactly what you should be getting. But if it's not, they can sure help you troubleshoot and find ways to keep your equipment going longer, and it's sure worth doing that. Like you say, this equipment is very expensive these days, and anything you can do to extend the life, you know, a month, a year, however long, is enormous.
And even beyond that, what I have found, it took years to do it, is talk to other contractors. You may not want to talk to the guy who's next to you in your competition. Call someone in another state. Call someone else. Most of these guys are happy to help you. I've visited other people's shops. I've asked the questions. You know, they've given me all the information, whether it's about the sweeping, the mechanics, or just business in general. I will ask as many questions as they're willing to answer. And if somebody called me, I'd be happy to answer the questions, you know, because the more qualified guys we can get in this industry, the better that we're all going to look.
There's no question to that. If only people had more training from the get-go, I think we'd be in a lot better shape as an industry. And you know, that's essentially the core mission of World Sweeper, has been to educate the contracting community in as many ways as we can, and in hopes that it becomes more and more professional, as it certainly has through the years. There's no question.
And I think it'll continue to be as opportunities open up and the economy improves.
Well, if there's nothing else that you'd like to add, we can make that a quitting point.
That sounds good to me.
Well, we've been talking to Rich Katz, and Rich is the President of Operations for TKG Sweeping and Services. They do not only sweeping, but some amount of commercial property management as well. They're located in Waukegan, Illinois. And, Rich, we very much appreciate your time.
Thank you.